Starting a new series today called Paradigm Shift, but before we get into that, would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today? Most of you know we're a multi-site church. We got church in Ohio as well as Illinois and then in Tennessee. We welcome all of you today. In fact, at our Craneville campus this Wednesday, my wife is going to be there. Sherry's going to be speaking. So you want to be a part of that in Craneville this week. And we just welcome all of you today. Glad you're there, whichever campus you're at. Thanks for coming and being a part of this day. My name is Eddie Couples and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And it's my opportunity every week to share with you the Word of God. This year, we've been talking about everything matters. We want to just remind you about that. It's behind me every week, but we want to just keep that in the forefront of your mind that everything, every aspect of your life, spirit, soul, and body, it matters to what it is that God's called you to do. Now, I begin today a brand new series. It's based on the life of David. So if you want to take your Bibles, go to the book of 1 Samuel or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded on. 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, will be there in a few minutes. But we're talking about paradigm shift. And last week, you got a little card that said, how do we view reality? And that's what paradigm shift is all about. In fact, a paradigm is how you look at a certain thing. And how many of you know that you've looked at something one way for a while and then all of a sudden you got further information and it changed? Anybody ever had that happen? I was at our Adamsville campus this week with Pastor Scott and Jennifer and Kathy, and we were just talking, and they started telling me about the day before. They said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe what we found. I said, well, what did you find? They said, well, yesterday, they said there were three baby skunks that were right here at the door. And they said, we put them in a box, and a few minutes later, two more came up. We put them in a box, and they started playing with them. They thought they were, you know, pets, and they were playing. And they said, you know, we were all excited watching them, and said, then we called somebody who knows about this, and they told us that skunks, even that young, can do what skunks do. All of a sudden, there was a paradigm change. All of a sudden, they went, maybe we shouldn't be playing with these skunks. Maybe we need to move these skunks somewhere away from the church so that they don't come back. That's what that we're going to be talking about, is that in your life, we're going to use the life of David, but how that, the way that you view reality really determines what's going to happen in your life. Now, today my sermon title is I Spy, okay? Now, there's a reason for that. How many of you remember the day? Days before, those of you who are my age will remember this, the days before you were totally wired in all the time. You remember those days when you would take your kids on a trip and they were good for about 20 to 30 minutes, and then you started hearing from the back seat such things as, he's on my side, right? Or she took my book, or he's touching me, and all these kind of things. And so at that point, you didn't have an iPad to give them or whatever. At that point, you started playing games. And so you started playing the alphabet game, and you go through A through Z, and you do that. And then all of a sudden, you play this game. I don't know how many of you remember this, but there was a little game we played with our kids called I Spy with My Little Eye. You remember that? I spy with my little eye, and we'd talk about, I see something this color, whatever, and then you had to guess at it, okay? Well, that's what I want to talk about today, is because, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the wonder of your eyes. As I begin to research this and look at this, I begin to really understand how wonderful our eyesight is. We have five primary senses that we go by, and as I begin to think about that, I thought, you know what, I wouldn't want to lose any of those, you know, touch, taste, all those things. But I think if I had to lose one, I think the one that I would not want to the most would be my eyesight, because of what it does for me. You know, your eyes can see in all directions. You can look around. You can focus on something near. You can focus on something far. You can see a tiny ant on the ground, or you can look and you can see a distant star with that eyes that you've been given. And what eyes do is that they help us to experience the world. It's because of our eyesight that we can see what's going on. Now, here's the deal about your sight. Your sight is all about light, Okay, don't miss that. Your sight is all about light. The more light that there is, here's what happens is, light reflects off of objects, and it enters the eye, and it allows us to see. Now, most of us have had that opportunity at some point to walk into a dark room thinking we knew where everything was. Come on, you know where I'm going with this? And you didn't have your shoes on. And somebody had moved a piece of furniture, and because there wasn't enough light in the room, your big toe and that big object encountered one another, and you just praised the Lord for the next 5 minutes, right? Why? Because there wasn't enough light coming in. The thing about our eyes that they tell us is that literally your eyes see upside down and two-dimensional. When your eyes look at something, it's seeing everything upside down, and it's not seeing it in a three-dimensional form. It's actually seeing it in a two-dimensional form. But the software of your brain works all of that, brings it together, and allows us to not see you sitting on your head today, but to see you sitting in seats, and also to see you in a three-dimensional form. Eyesight is important. How we view reality, how we see things is vital. The story of David, let me say this to you about David. Outside of Jesus Christ, David is my favorite person in all the Bible. I love David. I love David on many levels. I love David, first of all, because of all the great exploits he did, but I also love David that he was messed up. He didn't have it all together, and yet God still says he's a man after my own heart, right? And so we see all that. So let me read you a few verses today. Now today, let me just set this up. Today I'm not going to drill way down in David's life. We'll do that over the next 3 weeks together. Today I want to talk about eyes of fear and eyes of faith. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about David. So look in the first chapter, in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, beginning in verse number 1. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Now, Saul is the king of Israel, and he's turned his back on God. And Samuel, who's the prophet of Israel, is mourning about Saul. And God says to him, look, have a paradigm shift. Quit looking to the past. Let's look to the future. He says, since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Jump over to verse 6, if you would. Verse 6 and 7 says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab. This is the oldest. This is the most handsome. This is the best looking one. He's a warrior. And saw Eliab, and Samuel thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Look at the next verse. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Aren't you glad for that? Right? Everybody is looking at this or that, and a lot of us would not have been chosen the most likely to succeed, because people were looking at us with the eyes of the natural, and yet the Scripture says that's not how God looks at us. People look at the outward appearance, the Scripture says, but the Lord looks at the heart. So they bring all the sons before him. Let me jump down to verse 13. Next week we'll work this out a little bit more. It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David, and Samuel then went up to Ramah. Now, here's what we need to understand today. The life of David gives us this pattern of how that we look at our lives, okay? David is the youngest. In fact, he's the one that they've sent away from the house. He's kind of the forgotten one. We'll see a little bit more about that next week, how his own dad forgets about him. He's despised by one of his brothers, all of these things. And David had to make a choice. Was he going to live with eyes of fear or eyes of faith? Now, let me say this to you before we get into it today. First of all, you need to understand that you choose how you see your life. Okay, let me say that again. It's up to you how you view your circumstances. I have seen people have, in a lot of ways, some of the very best of circumstances who are the worst at complaining, who are the worst at not achieving anything or what they've been given. And then I've seen the direct opposite of that, somebody who really didn't have, as they used to say, a dog's chance, and yet who fought through it, came through it, and said, I am going to make a difference in this world and in my life. Now, I'm going to talk about fear a little bit. Now, let me set this up before I talk about the eyes of fear, first of all, and that is this. I've heard fear talked about in a negative way, and I'm going to be negative about it, but let me help you for a minute. How many of you ever heard this? People say, well, the alliteration for fear is false evidence appearing real, right? False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. Let me help you. Sometimes it's real evidence appearing real, right? If you're out in the woods and you hear this rattling, you can say that's false evidence appearing real, or you can say, come on, Jesus, let's run. Okay? Because it's real. You know, you walk into the bank and all of a sudden you hear, you know, a bullet go off into the ceiling and they say, this is a robbery. That's real. It's time to get a little fear down inside of our heart. Now, fear's not bad. Here's the problem. The problem is when we get into a pattern of life where we live with eyes of fear, okay? Fear is a vital response to physical or emotional danger, okay? That's good. There's that fight or flight moment that happens and you're ready to go. So it's not a bad thing. The bad part becomes, and I'm going to try to be quick with this part of it, but the bad part becomes when we live with eyes of fear. Now let's talk about what happens when you live with eyes of fear. First of all, it exaggerates our challenge. Okay? In the moment, in the place that you're at, it's exaggerating the challenge. I mean, think about this. When David gets ready, we'll talk more about it in one of the lessons, but when David goes out to fight Goliath, everybody else is talking about how big Goliath is, how powerful he is, how many people he's killed, and all that David does, and I hear what I'm going to say because it's in the scripture, all that David does is the best that David says to him is he calls him an uncircumcised Philistine. Now, I don't know if you've checked that lately, but that's not blessing somebody, okay? And he never calls him a giant. He never talks about how big he is because he's not living with eyes of fear. So many of us have a tendency to allow fear to just dominate, and everything just seems like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and we never can live out what it is that God has for us. In fact, what happens is that when you let that take place, when you live with those eyes of fear, it causes you to doubt yourself, okay? You're not living the way God has called you to live. The Word of God says that every one of us were created in the image and in the likeness of Almighty God, okay? And so when you understand that, you are not living from a place of fear. You're not living from a place of doubt. Listen, I want you to understand today that God wants you to accomplish great and mighty things. Okay, I'm going to give you, that was a great place for amen, and we're working on this. As a congregation, we're getting better, but you missed it, all right? God wants you to do great and mighty things. I knew you'd get it. See, y'all are good, all right? You're quick, okay? Now, here's the deal. We need to understand that in these moments, what happens is that when we get there, we find ourselves struggling. We find ourselves fighting with this challenge that's against us. And in the natural, what happens is that your pupils literally dilate. And in the natural, you begin to see all kind of things around you. Same way in the spirit, you begin to see all of these things that are taking place around you. And what it does is that it causes you to give up too soon. All right? Listen, the Bible says that the enemy goes about seeking whom he may. That word may there means he has to get the permission whom he may devour. The only ones that he can devour are those of us who say, I can't do this, I can't overcome, it's never going to happen. If David had had that mindset, he would have stayed on the backside of nowhere with a bunch of sheep his entire life. But he said, no, I'm going to make a difference. The second thing the eyes of fear does is that fear shuts the door to opportunity, okay? There's all kind of opportunity. I mean, think about this. How many people do we know that are always talking about the one that got away? It doesn't matter what the one was, the one situation, the one time, the one, whatever. Man, if I had only known in 1973 to invest in Walmart stock, you know, for $2 a share, I could be a millionaire today, right? But I was afraid. I was afraid that little struggling company was going to go out of business, and so I kept my $200, and look what it brought me today. Right? Why? Because we live with those eyes. And so the door shuts, and instead of us barging through and going forward into everything that God has. See, here's the deal. We won't try if we think we're going to fail. It's like, you know, training your child to ride a bike or swing at a ball, whatever. If they think they're going to fail, they're not even going to try. Your job as a parent is to encourage them, look, you can do this. You can make this happen. And even if you fall, guess what? The Bible says the righteous falls seven times, but he gets back up. She gets back up. We don't lay there. We don't say, well, it's all over. We say, if God's for us, we're going to make it. We're going to come through this, and we're going to see what it is that God has for us. The third thing that eyes of fear do is that it limits us, okay? It limits me from fulfilling what it is that God wants me to do. Here's what happens in that moment. When you begin to live with the eyes of fear, you see yourself as less than what God sees you as. Okay? The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? Amen. Come on, let's say that together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's say it again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Come on, one more time. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, some of you are still not believing it, but you really are. God says that you are. And so instead of looking at yourself as less than, you say, Pastor, if you knew me, I don't have to know you. I know you're messed up. Come on, right? We're all messed up. Right? Again, you've heard me say this, but I keep hearing about dysfunctional families. You know, I came from a dysfunctional family. I got to reading the Bible. I read from Genesis to Revelation. Every family in the Bible is dysfunctional. Right? You want to look at Saul's family? Dysfunctional. Look at David's family. Dysfunctional. I mean, you go through the scripture. It's dysfunctional. Everybody got a little dysfunction junction going on, right? So what we have to do is that we have to come to that place of saying, look, I refuse to live my life with the eyes of fear, but I'm going to be like David. I'm going to step up, and when the opportunity comes, I am going to live my life through the eyes of faith. And that's what I want to talk about for the next several minutes to you today. I want to talk about what it does when you live your life with eyes of faith. Okay? The Bible says that faith is a gift from God. The Bible says this, that every one of us, if you are a Christian today, if you're a believer today, that the Bible says you have been given a gift of faith. Right? So that means all of us have faith. So don't tell me you don't have any faith, because God said that if you're one of His children, He has given you a gift of faith. So what I've got to do now is that I've got to begin to live my life with the thought, not of fear, not of doubt, not of apprehension, but I've got to begin to live my life saying, I am going to live with eyes of faith, all right? Because here's what eyes of faith do. First of all, faith shrinks my problems, okay? It doesn't mean that the problem goes away. Goliath was still a giant. Goliath was still 9 feet tall, but David didn't let the tallness of Goliath bother him because he knew how big his God was, right? See, the book of Romans 8:31 says this: what then shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, let me talk to you for a minute. Let me bring you in on the inside track here. Ready? God's for you. God's for you. In fact, would you just look at your neighbor? I'm going to make this a participatory sermon today. Would you just look at your neighbor and say, God's for you? Come on. All right? God is for us. So Romans says there, if God is for me, and I just told you that he was, who can be against me? Come on, that's shouting news right there. That's that place that we say, come on, Lord, I know what you are doing in my life. See, here's in that moment, here's what we need to have happen to us. First of all, is there's this moment with eyes of faith of realizing who is on my side. Right? God's on my side. And here's what I found out about God. When he shows up, he takes over. Right? He has never met a problem he can't solve. He's never met a difficulty he can't take care of. He's never come into a sickness that he can't heal. He's never seen anything in any of our lives that he's not bigger than the problem that we're dealing with. And so I've got to, in this moment, let me challenge some of you. Some of you need to allow God to be expanded in your vision instead of your problem being expanded. Quit magnifying the problem and start magnifying the Lord God Almighty who is on your side, and begin to live with eyes of faith. So when I realize who he is, then secondly, I know his track record. All right? Here's what I know about God. He's never failed. He's never lost. In fact, the one time the devil thought he had won and that God had lost, 3 days later, Jesus kicked the door open and came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. All right? And the Bible says that he has ascended upon high and he has sat down at the right hand of majesty waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. And the scripture says that God is returning for a glorious bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or anything. That's us. That's those of us who are believers today that God says, I have called you to be that kind of a person and I have given you the power to overcome everything and every weapon that has been formed against you, it shall not prosper. So when I know his track record, I feel pretty good. I mean, if you are on a team, I don't care what the team is, if you are on a team that has never lost, when you walk in to the arena, you stand very straight, you kind of strut a little bit because you know that your team is going to win. Well, I want to tell you today, your team and your captain has never lost. He has always won. And the Bible says that even in the last day, at the last trump, at the buzzer, he's going to put that winning shot in at the buzzer. He's going to return from glory with a shout of the archangel. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him into the clouds, and there, the Bible says, we're ever going to be. So I don't know about you, that's good news, and I just choose to live a life of faith and to look at the world and say, the enemy's not winning, God's winning. Amen. Lastly there, you got to believe he is able. I don't believe I'm able. I believe he's able. Do you get that? See, that's the difference in a one who's following Christ and one who isn't. If you're here today or you're listening to me today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then you've got to do everything. You've got to make it happen. You've got to go for it. For those of us who are Christians, it doesn't mean we quit working. It doesn't mean we quit striving. But what it does mean is that we know that we've got the supercharger on board. Right? I've had a few cars in my life. I love cars, by the way. Just pray for me. And the faster, the better. Okay? And a few years ago, my buddy, I won't call his name, Bobby Green, called me and he said, He said, I got a car. I want you to come drive. And I said, okay. And I drove down there, and it was a four-door sedan, and I didn't think that much about it. And he said, take it out. And he said, just drive it. He said, just see what it'll do. Well, that just was like sic'em to a dog. All right. And so I got in that car, and before I got too far, I kicked it. And when I kicked it, that thing outran my angels. All right, it was the fastest car, quicker car that I've ever been in. It was an AMG motor in it, and that thing would literally fly. And I went back to him, and I said, you didn't tell me I was going to outrun my angels in that car. But there was this moment of knowing that something had kicked in. When I have a car, when I get ready to pass, I don't want to pray about it and get out and wind it up and push it. Right? I want something to kick in. Well, listen to me. When God's on your side, He's able. When the power of the Holy Spirit shows up for you, He's able, and He is going to do more than you can imagine. I've made this statement to you before, but I'm going to tell you again because some of you hadn't got it yet, and that is this: to the infinite, to God, all things finite are equal. Everything on this planet is finite. To God, who is infinite, there are no big problems or little problems. They're just places where God can show up and change your world. Amen. The second thing about the eyes of faith is that they unlock God's promises. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 29th verse. It says, then Jesus touched their eyes and He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. He touched their eyes. Now, here's what we got to do. I got to be quick with this, but get this. First of all, we've got to focus on His word. Okay? We've got to focus on His word. Quit focusing on the problems and on the difficulties and start focusing on the word of God. Don't focus on what's happening. Don't focus on the evidence. People say, well, it's all about the evidence. No, it's all about truth. Okay, years ago, I got this revelation. I was reading a book. It wasn't a spiritual book. It wasn't the Bible. I was reading an Ellery Queen mystery. And in there, Ellery Queen, for those of you who don't know, was a detective. And he shows up, and there's all this stuff going on. And they're talking about the evidence and this and all that. And he said, I don't care about the evidence. I care about truth. And I thought they were the same, but they're not. There are things around you that look one way, but the truth is God says something else about it. And so what I've got to do is I've got to focus on His word. And when I focus on His word, all of these things, it's evidence. It doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean there's not a problem or a difficulty or an opportunity. But what it does mean is that I am not focused on them. I am focused on the word of God because it's His word that's going to change my life. And in that moment, what I do is I step forward. I step into the problem. I step into whatever it is that I'm up against. And instead of allowing the enemy to push me back, I say, I'm walking into this. There are some of you today, let me stop right here because I feel I need to take a moment. There are some of you today who you're facing something and it keeps pushing you back. And you keep taking step by step by step. I am here today to challenge you to start stepping into it. Start walking right in to whatever it is that's up against you and say, I refuse to allow this thing to back me up one more day. I will not allow the circumstances to continue to dictate to me what my life is going to be. If God is for me, who can be against me? Third John says this. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health. And we usually stop right there. I wish you would prosper and be in health because everybody wants that. Everybody needs that in their life. But here's what we've got to understand. It goes on to say, even as your soul prospers. Let me kind of take one moment with you on this and help you, okay? Because it helped me when I understood this a few years back. Here's how that scripture could read. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your understanding prospers. Okay, remember I told you the more light you get onto a situation, the better your eyes work? The same way with the Word of God. The more of the revelation of the soul or the understanding in my soul that happens, there is a greater light that shines upon the subject that I'm at. Listen, somebody had to tell you one day that Jesus Christ loved you and gave his life for you. Somebody showed up in your world, I don't know if it was a preacher or a friend, who said, your life is headed in a wrong direction. You are in a place where you don't need to be. And in that moment, when your understanding was enlightened, you said, wait a minute, I don't want to live here. I don't want to live like this. I need Jesus Christ in my life. And if you ask him at that moment in your life, your whole world, your paradigm shifted in that moment, and you begin to see things in a different way. That's what God does, and that's how he operates in our life when we live with eyes of faith. Thirdly, eyes of faith helps me to endure. Helps me to endure. The book of James is one of those books. In fact, Martin Luther the Reformer, Martin Luther said this about the book of James. He said it ought to be ripped out of the Bible and stomped on, because he hated the book of James because he was coming out of Catholicism and all the ritualism. He couldn't stand the book of James. But the book of James says this. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, that is not that favorite scripture that you've got plastered on your mirror, right? Nobody goes home today and says, I want to put that on my refrigerator, right? Because it goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, okay? So faith helps me to endure. Eyes of faith keeps me going. What eyes of faith do is that it gives me this moment that I believe there's a purpose even when I don't know what it is that I'm going through. I just say, wait a minute, this is tough, but you know what? God's got a purpose. You know, there used to be a teaching that we went, I hadn't heard it lately, thank the Lord, but there used to be a teaching that went through the body of Christ, and it said this. It said, for everything, give thanks, because that's the will of God. That's not what that scripture says. The scripture says, in everything, right? I'm not going to think, if all of a sudden I go to the doctor and they diagnose me with a dreaded disease, I'm not going to say, well, Lord, thank you that I got this disease. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to go to every doctor I know that can heal me. I'm going to every prayer line that can pray for me. Why y'all looking at me like that? I'm going after it. But at the same time, I hope I'm able to say, Lord, thank you that even in the midst of this, I know whom I have believed, and I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. All right? And so that's the believing that there's a purpose in what I'm going through. And here's the deal. You need to understand that trials are not defeat. Okay? They're not defeat. There's so many of us that think that, well, because I'm going through this, I'm defeated. No. Trials means you're still alive and still in the game. Okay? So if you're in the midst of something today, listen to Pastor. If you're going through something today, I promise you that doesn't mean you're defeated. It means that God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. And what you've got to do is don't look with fear, but start looking with faith. Amen? Can I give you one more? The fourth one is eyes of faith brings miracles. Boy, I love miracles. Mark, the 11th chapter, says this. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours, okay? In that moment that I ask for it, I believe it, and it is mine according to Scripture. Now, let me wrap it up with this. You are the one who controls God's ability in your life. David controlled God's ability. If David had said when they called for him out there with the sheep, no, I'm too busy, I can't come in, he wouldn't have been anointed king. If when he faced Goliath, he said, oh, I can't do this, he would have never been the champion that he became. He chose. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that. You ever heard this? God's just going to do what God wants to do? No, he's not. I saw you putting your stuff up, so I thought I'd put my stuff up. Y'all's all flipping it up. I thought, I'm done too then. All right? I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. If you're done, I'm done, all right? So you say God's going to do what he says, what he wants to do. No, he's not. I'll prove it to you. I'll give you one scripture that proves God doesn't do what he wants to do. Ready? God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants everybody saved. But according to scripture and according to history, there are people who die every day without Jesus Christ in their life. See, here's the deal. Where you're sitting today, you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you've never done that. And it's up to you. God wants you in his kingdom. God wants to save you. God wants to take you from the place that you've been and bring you back to him and restore the relationship that he wants with you. But it's your choice. It's up to you what you're going to receive. Is a miracle going to happen today for you? It's your choice. The miracle of salvation going to happen? That's your choice. Nobody else can do it. You're going to say, you say, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, let me give you one more. You remember the story in scripture where the Bible says an angel appeared to a young lady named Mary. She's probably somewhere in her teens when this angel comes. And he says, God, you're highly favored. You're chosen of God to bring forth the Christ child. You are literally going to bring forth the only begotten Son of God. And Mary said, how's this going to happen? I've never been with a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And he told her some other things. Now watch what Mary said. Here's Mary's response. So be it unto me. So be it unto me. It was her choice. If she would have said, I don't want this. I don't need this. This is going to wreck my life and ruin my future. I believe God would have just gone on and he'd have found somebody else to bring forth the Christ child. She said, so be it unto me. What is it in your world today that you're missing out on because you have not said, so be it unto me? That God is standing. The Bible says it this way. It says that he stands at the door and knocks. And only if we open the door does he come in. It's up to us. There are some of you today who you need to open the door and say, Lord, I need you as my Savior today. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to cleanse me by your precious blood today. There are others of you who you made that decision, but you're missing out on some other things that God has for you. And you need today to quit focusing with fear and be like David and say, I'm going to focus with the eyes of faith and I'm going to see God do great things in my life. Amen.